Welcome to Burning River Radio. I'm your host, Joe Koblitz, and I'm being joined today by my normal co-host, a whole lot of... Wait! What's that, King? It can't be! Coming from behind a curtain, it's Mike Milleragno!
Yo!
The Heartbreak Kid has returned to Burning River Radio.
I was kind of hoping to come back to meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Sorry.
I don't know that. I only know professional wrestling from 1994-ish through about 2003.
Come on, dude. It's one of the best rock bands of all time, The Who. We used to listen to them in high school, dude. Come on.
I know The Who. I like the wrestling intros. I wish I had music on the show because it just is entertaining to play some, like, NWO.
Yeah, I mean, we should definitely do bumper music. I mean, if I'm going to be around all season, then I think we should think about doing some bumper music.
Well, I don't expect anyone to last more than a week. I mean, I've fired Kate 3 times already this year.
Yeah, I saw the whole George Steinbrenner and Billy Martin thing going on between you two.
It's working well.
It is.
Doesn't it work well for them?
Yeah, kind of.
You're trying... Well, a little bit. The last Burning River book club I did was Greg Nettles. It's more like a diary than like a biography. Because it really just covered the one season in 1983, but then he went back and talked about some of the stuff that happened before.
Technically, the Indians fired Carl Willis, didn't they? And they brought him back?
I don't remember.
Because when they fired
Eric Wright, I think they... Yeah,
I think they fired his entire coaching staff, too.
I forgot they rehired him. I've really... This whole offseason, I've kind of been hiding with my head in the sand, as they say. And if you listen to this podcast regularly, you don't, because we haven't recorded one since Justin left, which was like 2 months ago.
Well, I'm back, so, and I think I'm a little bit more entertaining than Justin anyway, so...
Well...
Take it for what it's worth.
We'll let the viewers decide. See how our ratings do.
Viewers? How do you... I mean, this is like radio. How do you view radio?
You just watch your computer screen, I believe.
Watch what?
Just the screen. Watch the little line on the bottom go across. This is the most entertaining thing we've ever discussed. So, the reason I came out of my doldrums was not to talk about, I don't know, Mickey Calloway or... who else is a big... Lorenzo Cain. It's not to talk about these people. It's because...
Alexia Gondo.
I don't know who that is.
You should remember his name, and if you don't, you will know his name by September.
Wait,
anyway,
Are you going to take me as seriously as Justin did on everything I said? Because we'll never get anywhere.
Go ahead. Finish your diatribe.
I'm starting it. You finish it. Okay, so the news that has brought me out and rekindled the fire that is Burning River Radio is that Chief Wahoo has announced that he will retire at the end of the season. And since we focus on the minor league system mostly, I think it's really important that we talk about what young and up-and-coming logo is going to replace him in 2019.
Oh, dead air. We don't want dead air. I like the whole Chief Wahoo retirement announcement. There wasn't the hoopla of, you know, like when Kobe Bryant announced his retirement or when Cal Ripken announced his retirement.
I hope everyone brings him gifts like when David Ortiz and Mariano Rivera.
So every single city that the Indians travel to, they're gonna the opposing team is going to give Chief Wahoo a gift. I like that idea.
I feel like the local Indian tribe should show up and pay some tribute.
I like the idea. What are the Chicago Cubs going to give them when they go to Wrigley in May?
Hopefully a ring.
Yeah, well, probably not. Hey,
you blew the joke. The joke is I really want them – I guess instead of bringing up a rookie, I think they should sign – bring someone else out of retirement, and I'd like to see them call up the Akron Arrows from AA and have Orbit run around and use that logo. That was my favorite
right one. Right. You know, so many people were really offended when he announced his retirement. or sad, I should say, and angry when he announced his retirement. But I tell you what, I was a little bit more disappointed when the Arrows announced their retirement, and
way more.
when Jacobs Field announced its retirement.
Well, you know, so I was buying a hat the other day, and they had an Indians hat at the store that said Jacobs Field on the side and had Chief Wahoo on the front. And I'm not one to live in the past. I don't play that. I did not buy the Jacobs Field hat. I just think it's really funny that people can't just get over it.
So at the official team shop, they actually had a Jacobs cap with Jacobs Field.
Lids.
Oh, it was lids. Oh, okay.
Yeah, lids.
They're making a killing off of all these retro throwback caps.
The funny thing about lids, I don't know if it was lids or Hat Club or whatever. We got a few different mall hat stores. But one of them has all these awesome NBA hats. I'm like, why can't you just make Indians one? There's one store that even sells in Arizona all the AFL teams in the actual team logos. So you can like get an A's hat it's a Saguaro's hat with A's colors or whatever it was. And they had a whole bunch of them, which is awesome. And they didn't make one in Indians colors.
Because red, white, and blue, or I should say dark navy and red, is such a bad color combination that nobody ever wants to put their logo.
I think if they were on the same team as the Pirates, and they didn't do a Pirates one either.
You know what? That fashion kind of started when we were in high school. You know, creating caps with a team's logo but with different teams' colors on it. And I never did like that. Like, why would you want a block C cap or to keep with our theme today, a Chief Wahoo cap with, like, Oakland A's colors? Like, what sense does that make?
Well, no, but this is an AFL logo. So it's like a Saguaro's logo. And the teams are made up of five different teams. Anyway, that's not important. I did kind of want to get into, like, personal feelings on Chief Wahoo. First thing, he's all over my house. Like, I don't know how I'm going to redecorate my entire house in the next year. It's going to be very difficult. I mean, I just looking like right now, I could see like 15. They're all over the place. I have my mantle is covered with Chief Wahoos, and it's not intentional. I think one or two of my shirts still have Chief Wahoo on them, but it's not intentional that they do. And it's never the prominent thing. It's like a little patch on the shoulder or something like that. But I haven't had a Chief Wahoo hat in, 6 years or so, and I've generally tried to avoid it when I can, just because it's easier, and I feel like that's kind of what they're doing. It's just easier to move on than to just constantly deal with this, and I will say it's not Native Americans that are offended by this, and I think everybody knows that, and whenever you say that, like, people get mad and triggered and whatnot, but it really is the whole white liberal social justice warriors. Those are the people who are really offended by Chief Wahoo. I'll tell you, I think I told this story before, but driving back from Ohio, actually, a couple years ago, we drove through a city called Tuba in Arizona. Tuba is only Native Americans. That's the only people that live there are Native Americans. It's a very tiny town in the northeast corner of Arizona. The high school there, their logo is the Washington Redskins logo. That's literally, like, they took it. And there are tribes that I knew of in Montana that have Chief Wahoo as their tribe logo. And I, the first time we ever went to the Grand Canyon, we stop off in, Camp Verde or something like that. We stop off there to get a map of the trails and such, and as we're going in, there's a guy standing on a corner, obviously Native American, wearing a Cleveland Indians 1995 World Series shirt. Like, that's diehard. We're talking 2012 or 2013 or something like that. And this guy's wearing a 20-year-old shirt. So he didn't just kind of like Chief, he must have loved Chief Wahoo. So of these people, like, there are tons of Native Americans who loved the logo, who didn't just tolerate it. They loved it.
Right.
And I guess that's why I'm glad they're still selling it, because they have to keep the trademark up. So I'm glad they're still selling it, so the people who love the logo can have it. I don't love it. It's just...
Well, you know, the ironic part about it is there's a little bit of noise on Twitter about this and a little bit of noise in the media, but not a whole lot, is the fact that the Indians kept the trademark and the fact that they can still sell Chief Wahoo and make a profit off of Chief Wahoo, but just not incorporating him basically on the field. And what's funny about that is if you're as you would call a social justice warrior, I would still be a little bit ticked that they're still going to be selling Chief Wahoo for profit, or, you know, the character of Chief Wahoo for a profit. I mean, if you're going to pick and choose, would you rather have him on the field or would you rather have him being sold for a profit, which they were doing both now, I get it, but you're still selling him for a profit. So, I mean, nothing really was changed. I mean, if you remember back in 1994 when the Indians moved into then Jacobs Field, they removed Chief Wahoo from the ballpark. He used to be all over Old Municipal Stadium. They removed him from the ballpark. I mean, that was probably a bigger step than eliminating him off of the jersey and off of the cap, which he really didn't have a prominent role on either anyway.
The weird thing about that is that Shapiro, and we've talked about this before, but I think it's more positive. We could definitely say certainly now, but we had talked about this when we started the site back in 2011, that it was Shapiro who hated Chief Wahoo, that he was the one that wanted to get rid of it. Because as soon as he took over as GM, it was script eye, like immediately. It was sleeveless jerseys. It was like going on, let's change the style up, let's get rid of Chief Wahoo. It was tiny Chief. If the Chief was on the hat like he was with the sleeveless jerseys, he was much smaller, and he had a silver outline. It's like they kept doing these little things to make it smaller and get rid of it. When they moved to Goodyear, they said it was Goodyear that said they couldn't have Chief Wahoo, but it must not have been, because they started wearing him again as soon as Shapiro left. So I think it was him. That it was Shapiro that said, no, that we can't have it when we're in Arizona. But as soon as he left, they brought it back on the jerseys. I was really surprised. I didn't think they would do that. And they sell it in the team shop. They even sell the extremely offensive. If you think the jersey or the logo is offensive, that bobblehead is crazy offensive. Like, that's just – it, like, brings it – it's, like, 3D offensive. That's
are you talking about the big, giant bobblehead?
Yeah, it's, like, 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sell that. They sold it at the team shop for a moment, and I was like, I can't believe they're selling – like, this is ridiculous. But they brought that all that stuff back after Shapiro left. So it was almost like making a resurgence, and that disappointed me. I would have rather seen it just wiped clean.
Yeah. You know, and the funny thing is, when Mark Shapiro left, as you were discussing, the Indians primarily didn't wear the Block C cap at all. I mean, they were technically supposed to wear the cream jerseys with the red Block C cap. Well, back in 2016, the navy blue Block C cap. And they really didn't do that at all. They primarily wore the midnight navy jerseys with the Chief Wahoo caps. After Mark Shapiro left. But I think the Indians over time, they've done a really good job of progressively, no pun intended, aggressively shrinking Chief Wahoo, as you said. And so it kind of lessened the blow. If you ask me, it's better to, you know, take him out of the ballpark and then you make him smaller and he's only worn during weekdays, not on weekends. Progressively over the course of 20 years, it's better than just eliminating them all at once in one moment.
I think it's worse because we've had to deal with this fucking conversation for 15 years at least. 20 years now. It was in the 90s we were talking about this shit. It's unnecessary. It should have ended so long ago, though. But if they would have just ended it, it would be over. Instead, we had to deal with these arguments every year.
But even Paul Dolan, you know, when he was having discussions with Rob Manfred, which we'll discuss in a second, but when he was having discussions with Rob Manfred, he had told Rob Manfred about the sensitivity of the issue of Chief Wahoo and how much it meant to the people of Northeast Ohio and Indians fans everywhere. And so I think Paul Dolan was cognizant of that during this entire process. He didn't want to eliminate the Chief right away. He wanted to phase it out slowly but surely, which is what they did.
Well, so one of my favorite logos, and I have a thing with logos. I do think that they're really important. Some people have come out in this and said logos don't matter at all. And I saw one person say they love the C, the Block C, because it represents Cleveland. And I was like, that's such horseshit because it's ugly. Like, it doesn't matter if it represents, like, Every other single letter logo is better than the block C. The Atlanta A, the New York Yankees, you know, NY, all that stuff looks better than even Minnesota, like their little TC. They all look better than the block C. The block C looks retarded. It's ridiculous. But like when the Rays, who I thought had a really nice logo, I love their Devil Rays logo with the Devil Ray, which is a stingray on it.
Right.
I thought that was a really awesome logo. And they just went one day like, no, we're not the Devil Rays anymore. Now we're the Rays and it's sunshine. One day. Like, they didn't care if they ostracized their entire fan base. Now, obviously, they'd only been around for 10 years compared to 110 at the time. But, you know, like, that, it was a lot easier for them to – it seemed like it was simple. And other teams have changed their color scheme. The Diamondbacks have changed their color scheme 3 times. There are teams that have done this and – not been that big of a deal.
Right.
It doesn't seem like it should be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So, but by drawing it out for 20, 30 years, it has made it a big deal.
Yes, I agree with you to an extent. But, you know, we live in a day and age where branding is very important. And Chief Wahoo, for a lot of people, was the consistency of something that isn't really there in America nowadays, which is consistency, which, you know, things
racism.
Constantly changing.
Oh.
Because of social media, things constantly change, brands constantly change. I mean, for me, at least, you know, a 30-year-old guy, Chief Wahoo is just as synonymous with the Indians as the NY insignia is to the New York Yankees, or the fancy little A for the Oakland A's. Or the KC for the Royals.
Okay, so like, but the A's have changed their logo multiple. They used to be an elephant. I mean, like, they've changed it multiple times, and they used to be a KC. The Kansas City is an expansion franchise from, you know, from 40 years ago, 50 years ago. It's not that. It doesn't have that history necessarily. Even the Yankees used to be the Hilltoppers. They changed it. Everybody changes. And I do feel like, for some reason, it's almost like the stuff that happened in the 1910s, that's all set in stone. If it still exists now and it exists then, like, that's permanent. Like, it's got to be there forever. Actually, the Yankees were the Orioles before they were the Hilltoppers. They played
right.
In Baltimore, and then they moved them to New York. Just like the original Boston team, they had 2 teams. One of them was the Boston Braves, and they moved. You know, like, there's a lot of... There has been a lot of movement and a lot of team names changed over history. The fact that the Indians have stayed the same since what, the 1914, I think it was. I think that's what year it was, right? That was year Napoleon Lajoie left.
I think so.
Yeah, so they stayed 14 or 15. The same name since 1914. I get it's okay, but I never even liked the name. Like, in living in Arizona, I'm going to root for that franchise no matter what. They could move to a different city, change his name and logo, and I'd still root for him. I can understand if you're in Cleveland, still, you might not feel that way. But I moved, so I can't hate on them for changing, you know, any particular.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I don't – I was just taking the perspective from the fan base as a whole. Me, personally, to me, it's just a team – or a sports organization, or any organization, really, just trying to rebrand. And I, you know, who's to say if this decision would have been made anyway if it wasn't coming from the pressure of the Office of the Commissioner?
Yeah, see, I don't know.
And the All-Star game coming in 2019.
I don't know if it would have, because it seemed like for a while that they were working towards it, and then they had this relapse, and they were like, no, we're going to put them all over everything again. And I think the majority of Indians fans are uncomfortable with it. Even if they still like it, I feel like... I guess this is my opinion, but I feel like it's uncomfortable to have him on everything. I've seen people complain that you can't find kids' clothes in the team shop that don't have Chief Wahoo on them. And, like, I don't want my kid wearing Chief Wahoo, and there's no other option if I want him to have an Indian shirt. So I can definitely see people being upset with that. And there are plenty of other options. And I don't like the team name either, honestly. I think that's at least as offensive, if not way more offensive, than the logo was, to call them the Indians. I think there's so many better options, but...
well, I mean, I think that's going to be next. I don't know if it's, I don't know if they're going to change the team name or not, but I think it's, I mean, here's the thing.
But yeah, when, I guess the point was with Dolan, I don't think he ever, I think that they needed to step in and do something because it seemed like he was on a track never to change it.
So are you saying that it was the right thing for Rob Manfred to put the pressure on the Indians to change it?
Yes, because they look ridiculous.
What looked ridiculous?
The franchise looks ridiculous, and like they have no clue what's going on the planet right now.
Well, but they, I mean, they were in a tough decision.
I think it was in a tough spot.
The Indians were in a tough spot, Joe. They really were. I mean, they were getting pressure from a lot of different people on both sides. And I mean, look, I mean, they're not going to release the numbers, but I mean, I would suspect that they lost some season ticket holders over it, to be honest with you.
I highly doubt it.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
I think people will say they did, just like people saying they are boycotting the NFL and the NFL's making more money than ever. It's not happening.
Well, let's not open up that can of worms. We're here to talk about Chief Wahoo. But here's the thing.
No, it's a very similar thing to me, I think. It's these people who, you know, you want to say that because you think it's going to affect the team. And you think it's going to change their opinion, but it isn't.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, people are going to forget about this as, you know, the season moves forward, as the next decade moves forward, and the Indians rebrand themselves or whatever they end up doing, whether they change, you know, I kind of like the color combination. But, you know, whatever they decide to do, I mean, this will be forgotten about. You know, we live in a culture where people forget stuff pretty easily. So this will all be forgotten about. The fire will blow over and everything will be back to normal again. So, I mean, I'm just happy the All-Star Game is going to be here in 2 years. And don't forget, the Indians are still going to be wearing Chief Wahoo as they make this run this season. I think they're as good a team as any team in Major League Baseball. And I think it would be a really interesting, for those that did not like the decision, I think it'd be a really interesting slap in the face to Rob Manfred for the Indians to hoist the World Series trophy with Chief Wahoo on their cap. although the cap that says World Series champions, I don't think would have the Chief, because it didn't have the Chief in 2016. No. But still.
I'm hoping this leads to a total rebranding, because I really do hate that Block C. I think it's so boring and so generic.
Yeah, they're definitely gonna get rid of that. That's a Mark Shapiro creation.
My favorite C, and again, this, I feel like some people can say it's racist as well, but it's much less racist at least, is those crooked C from the 1970s. I love that one. I would wear that all the time. I have a shirt with it on it. If that was their primary logo, I'd replace all my Chief Wahoos as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And put that, well, I mean, I really do love it. That. So something like that.
The last two seasons when they did Throwback Night, where they had the all-red jersey from the 1970s and the navy blue jersey from the 1970s, the fan reaction was off the charts. And looking at Twitter yesterday, the last 2 days actually, a lot of people were talking about, you know, if they were to completely rebrand and change their uniforms and change everything, that would be what they would want, would be something similar to those types of jerseys and the Crooked C cap.
Yeah.
The one thing no one was really talking about, if they get rid of the script Indians on the front of the jersey, though, is what do you do with the scoreboard? Do you have to, you know, change the scoreboard around because of the huge block or the huge script Indians that sits on top of the scoreboard? That'd have to be changed.
I'm sure they could figure something out.
But I mean, look, I've got a personal connection with Chief Wahoo. I really do. I mean, you and I both grew up at the same time, and the Chief was the primary logo. Like, it was on the home cap, road cap. They didn't have a Block C, a script I.
Yeah, I had a ton of the hats, too. It's on everything. But, and like I said, yeah, it's everywhere in my house, because that's just how it worked out. If you bought an Indian something, it had Chief Wahoo on it. So it's all over the place, and I think it's going to be all over the place for a long time for all Indians fans, until the group that's like maybe 5 and under right now, as they get older, they maybe will move on from it. You know, but the people who are already alive, and already watching baseball are yeah. probably going to keep it throughout the rest of their lives. It's just like the idiots who have to say Jacobs Field instead of Progressive Field.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing. It's a typical rebranding, like I said, and they'll never be able, you know, I think fans should take satisfaction in the fact that Chief was around for so long, and there are millions upon millions of pictures of Chief Wahoo floating around everywhere, of people wearing Chief Wahoo hats, shirts, to ball games, going back to the old Municipal Stadium, and that's one thing that they, whoever they are, can't erase, you know what I mean, are the memories of the Chief, and, you know, something to look forward to moving to into the future is the new logo. You know? Indians baseball, I mean, real quick, Indians baseball, the brand itself, okay, is really strong because of the success that the team has had. And it's a much, in my opinion, it's a much stronger brand in Northeast Ohio than the than the Browns and the Cavs, to be honest with you. Every time they do a poll in this town about, you know, what championship would matter most, you would think, as much as people talk about the Browns, you would think it'd be the Browns. But every time I do that poll, it's always the Indians winning the World Series. Indians winning the World Series. Indians winning the World Series.
They've existed really strong. They've existed a lot longer than the Browns, and they've won less often. If you look at all the titles, and less recently.
Well, yeah. Right, correct, yeah.
So I think that adds into
recent history. And with the young generation, like, I, walking around Cleveland, just, you know, paying attention as I do, I see more, I would say, between 18 and 30, okay, I see more guys and girls wearing Indian stuff than I do Brown stuff all throughout the course of the year. So, I mean, the brand of Indians baseball is really strong. Baseball is going to be really strong in Northeast Ohio, whether it's Chief Wahoo, the Black Sea, or something else. So,
yeah, I will say, as far as you loving it because of your youth or whatever, if you had been born 10 years later and in Florida, maybe you would feel the same way about a fish. Or if you were from Seattle, maybe you'd love that little, what is it, a depth charge or a mine or something like that? I don't
know. Oh, on the S?
Yeah, the little spiky thing in the middle.
Oh, yeah, with the M. It looks like a devil's fork or something. Yeah.
No, the mine. It's like from the one from the 90s. I don't even think they use it anymore. Yeah, it was in the middle of the S.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I thought you were referring to, for a long time, the Mariners used that. It looked like a devil's pitchfork with an M or something like that.
Yeah, it was really yellow and ugly. No, that one was awful. Yeah. The one after that, the A-Rod, Ken Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson years.
Yeah. Baseball uniforms.
You may be in love. Like, if you had been there, that would be the thing you were in love with, and then maybe you'd be mad that they changed it because they have changed. Mariners have changed their logo a few times. You know, maybe you'd be mad at that. It kills you. I remember you used to say the Braves stole your childhood or something like that. But it's,
they still did. They still have my childhood.
But it's your life. It's your choice to move on. In that, it has nothing to do with what they do. You already and you said this. You've already lived the time that you've lived. You know, it's not like they went back and took that away. No, you existed.
Well, no, they ruined it. I didn't say they took it away. Oh, okay. They ruined it. I mean, I'm still numb from 2016. So, I mean, probably in 20 years, I'll probably say that the Chicago Cubs took my young adulthood away.
Midlife crisis.
Yeah. But for the longest time, the conversation about Chief Wahoo was, I think at one point he was like the only smiling primary logo in professional sports.
What about the Padres?
What did the Padres have that was smiling?
The Friar. He's swinging a baseball bat. They put him on the hats before.
Yeah, but at that time, when I would say during maybe the 90s, yeah, Chief Wahoo. Yeah, there's been smiling logos in the past, but, during the 90s, I think the Chief at one point was the only smiling logo in professional sports. And now the Baltimore Orioles have the bird.
I would say, how does a bird smile,
though? Smiles. He's certainly not smiling at the Orioles baseball team, I can tell you that. He's smiling at something else.
Yeah, I want to know how Manny Machado was going to play shortstop for the Orioles when he's going to be playing third base for the Indians. It doesn't make any sense.
Hey, I've got a question. So, yeah, well, you know, we're not allowed to talk about baseball, only about Chief Wahoo on this podcast. So
I had one more joke if you want to throw away. I'll throw away my last joke.
One more thought. Chief Wahoo,
okay.
For all of those years, still smiled. You know, I mean, we're talking about some of the, I mean, the worst seasons at Municipal Stadium, what, basically 4 decades of not going to the postseason, of teams that were either mediocre or just flat out stunk, playing in front of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 fans every single night. And for 4 decades, the guy never frowned, not once.
And you know what? That kind of fits into that. I haven't written a whole lot lately, so go on Burning River Baseball and look up my Greg Nettles book review of a book he wrote in 1983. But his comments on the Indians, he only had 2 pages in this entire book about the Indians. He played for the Indians like 7 years. He had 2 pages in the whole book about them. And it was essentially, how could anyone want to play for a franchise where the fans are happy when the team goes 500? And it was such, and that's kind of like goes with this saying, Chief Wahoo was smiling the whole time. It was like the fans were just happy to be there and just happy if they went 500 and didn't care if they won the World Series. And he couldn't stand it. He said every single player playing for that team was playing for the GMs of every other team. Because they all wanted to get traded.
Well, pretty much. I mean, you know, they're kind of like what the Browns are now. I mean, veterans sign free agent contracts to just get a payday, really. I mean, that was the only reason why Keith Hernandez was playing first base for the Indians for, what? Well, he played for 2 years for us, I think.
I thought it was because he spit on George.
I don't know what happened, but.
no, not George Steinbrenner. Yeah, George Costanza.
George Costanza.
Someone might not get that reference, and they may think it's a different George.
Yeah. I think he appeared on Seinfeld a couple times.
Yeah, he dated Elaine.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But I was talking about the episode where the spit went back into the left. It was a JFK reference.
Ah, okay.
They kept saying, the spit goes back into the left. It goes back.
Hey, another question, then you can tell your joke.
That's too late.
So the movie Major League and Major League 2, like, they have to, like, transpose the block C on those caps now?
No, that's the whole point of... They can't take away what happened to you unless you're ET and they replace your guns with flowers or something like that. But what's done is done. It exists. And I made this point years ago. I think it was the first year we had the site running. I wrote a pro and anti Chief Wahoo piece. I wrote more than that. There was one that was a history of Cleveland logos. There was one that was a history of the Cleveland name. And then after that, I wrote a pro and anti Chief Wahoo piece. And I wasn't telling my own opinion. And this is it was the article that got more attention than anything else I've ever written. The pro one was. The anti one, no one cared. But the pro one got more attention than anything else because people were just screaming at me like, you're an idiot, like you're a racist, whatever. But my point was they weren't my arguments. I was just putting the arguments out there so people could read them and then decide on their own. I was not trying to convince anyone of anything. And one of the points in the pro one was, watch Peter Pan. The movie Peter Pan is so incredibly insensitive to Native Americans. It's got to be
explained because I've never really watched Peter Pan. So
well,
explain
first thing, they've got the whole like they do all the whole how like that's how they introduce it, and they do the whole peace pipe thing. But the pictures of the Indians look like Chief Wahoo. They're that bright red. They're drunk, they're high, they're stoned, they're like they really are pushing it off like they're idiots, and they're warriors. Like they just want to kill people all the time. Like they're really extreme caricatures. Mm-hmm. And obviously that movie came from it was written about the same time that Chief Wahoo came into existence. So obviously that was a thing back in the 1950s. That's just you know, like that's what it was back then. Now we don't need to go back now and change that, But if you watch that now, you get a little uncomfortable. And it's kind of, you see these stupid things on, I don't read articles on the internet, like the BuzzFeeds and whatnot, but I see them on, they'll pop up on Twitter, especially people complaining about them. But there's been ones recently where someone wrote something about how millennials hate Seinfeld, and they hate Friends, and they hate this movie and that movie, because they don't get it, like they're making fun of gay people, and it's like you're not allowed to make fun of gay people. But you were in the 90s, you could make fun of gay people. It was okay back then. Like, or they're making, you know, or they're saying something that now would be considered racist, but in the 90s wasn't considered racist. But they, you know, so they can get away with that stuff. And I think anything you watch, you have to understand that's like that. I'm trying to, someone else got in trouble for something recently, for saying something offensive 10 years ago, and it's like, well, it wasn't offensive 10 years ago. It's offensive now because you've moved the line so far. You know, you've moved the line of what is offensive and what isn't offensive.
Yeah, you can't retroactive take something away that you've said. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's already in the past. Like, you can't whatever. I think it was one of the sexual harassment things. Like, it was almost in the past, it was accepted that in Hollywood, the guys in charge would be sexually harassing the women, and so it was something with John Oliver and something that happened on a movie like 40 years ago. I don't remember exactly. Like I said, I don't actually watch that stuff. I just see the reactions usually. And it's like, it happened 40 years ago and it wasn't that big of a deal. Let's just move on.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a gray area. And, you know, I think it comes down to, well, what group, if you make fun of, is considered racism? And what group can you make fun of that isn't considered racism?
I can call you a Dago because I'm grandfather.
Let me give you an example. Speaking of Dagos, okay, the Little Caesars man. Okay, the primary logo for Little Caesars. All right, so he's basically depicted as a big nosed, heavy set Italian holding a pizza. All right. How come there's not a push to get the Little Caesars man disbanded from Little Caesars? Like, how come there's no uproar?
Well, they say the same
over
thing
the Little
about
Caesars man,
the Fighting Irish and the Minnesota Vikings and all that. You know, I'm not offended by very much, but as many of you already know, I am a huge believer in the Flying Spaghetti Monster, and if some team were to name themselves after him, that's with a capital M, I not only wouldn't be offended, but I would actively root for them.
I'm pretty sure that I would be protesting outside opening day.
I'm not talking about the Indians. I would like if some team in Trinidad and Tobago, some soccer team, decided to name themselves the Flying Spaghetti Monsters, I'm in.
Yeah. Well, I would still be outside the ballpark or stadium protesting.
What's wrong with the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
The Flying Spaghetti Monster, because who primarily eats spaghetti?
Oh, no, it's an actual thing. It's an alien.
No, but you cannot use the word spaghetti. And then what type of logo? What logo are you going to use?
You're going to get it?
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Search the Flying Spaghetti Monster. It's a creation of Douglas Adams.
I just heard Spaghetti Monster.
Well, see, that's on you.
I quickly associated that with racism.
No, he's actually spaghetti. He's made out of spaghetti.
And then what type of logo are you going to use?
You can look it up. You can find a picture of the
he has to be the flying monster. You cannot
use
the word spaghetti.
Tangela from Pokemon.
you can't use the word spaghetti. I'm sorry.
Oh, you ruined it.
Not in 2018.
Somebody made a joke and put a mustache on Chief Wahoo and took the feather off and turned him white and said the Cleveland Italians. And that would offend me. Because I don't want anything to do with those WAFs.
Ah, okay, I see the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
you missed the joke.
I was too busy looking up the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
See, you care about your heritage way too much.
But see, there's probably more Italians in Northeast Ohio than Native Americans.
Well, I think there's more Polish people. There were the Cleveland Polacks or Pokas or whatever.
You would be in favor of a name change. So what would that name change be?
I've talked about this before, and I don't have anything off the top. I love the Spiders. That would be my number one, is go back to the Spiders, if we're being serious. And there are a lot of things they could change it to, or I would hate it. I hate the minor league teams that are like, for a goof, oh, let's be the Chihuahuas because it's cute and we'll sell some hats to 16-year-old girls. I hate that shit. If they did that, keep it the Indians and keep Teofahu. I'm not playing rubber duck games. I despise that. But there are some really cool names out there. The Missoula Osprey is one of my favorite team names ever. They have an Osprey that literally nests at the stadium. to do something like that. So if you can have the team name really represent the city or an animal that lives in there, not the Detroit Tigers. It make no sense at all. There's no Tigers in Detroit. Well, I took a picture of a Tiger in Detroit once, but there's very few Tigers in Detroit, like two or three maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then none of them were born there. They all brought them in from outside. So like that, I like that. I don't really like the idea of the Cleveland Fellers. I've seen that. I hate the Cleveland Guardians thing. I've been to Cleveland so many times, I don't even know where those fucking statues are. If I've ever seen them, I wouldn't know. Like, they never popped out to me.
You know, I didn't know where they were either until I worked at Progressive Field, and the office window overlooked the bridge where the Cleveland Guardian of Traffic statue is.
Okay, but
I never would have seen them.
I still never would have. Like, I wouldn't notice it. It's just not important to me. And you can say I've never lived in Cleveland. That's fine. Yeah, I lived in Ashtabula, and I lived in Akron, and I lived in Bowling Green. I never lived in Cleveland itself. But it doesn't suit me. Like, it doesn't fit me. Just like the Cleveland Italians would not suit me. It's just not me. You could do something. I love the Lake Erie Monsters. I hate that the hockey team stole that. That's such a great name. And the logo.
The Monsters?
Awesome. Yeah, the logo's awesome, too. It's so good.
You know, 2 years ago, they did an Indians team night where they had the Monsters jerseys that look like Indians jerseys. You know, the navy blue, dark.
Well, actually,
navy.
I like their color scheme better than the Indians anyway.
Mm. Well, Spiders is a good name. I kind of like Bulldogs.
I think
that's a...
There's like 47 college teams with that name. I would
love the Cleveland Browns to be the Bulldogs if they were to rebrand.
Okay. Yeah, I can
because
I thought
the
you were
first
say the Indians to be the Cleveland Browns, and that's when I
the first professional football team in Ohio were the Canton Bulldogs, and then you would still be honoring the dog pound by calling yourselves the Bulldogs. You could still have the Bulldog
if you had the D A W G. So
and so you'd be paying homage to the Canton Bulldogs. You would be still tying it to the Browns, but you could create a whole new color scheme, a whole new brand, a whole new logo. Anyway, I digress.
And I will say that one of the things I would love to see them do is have a city-specific color scheme like Pittsburgh and like Arizona does, or Arizona has a state-specific. The Coyotes and Diamondbacks have very similar colors, and the Suns are purple, so it's a slightly different hue. But they're all going with that like purple you want to call it. And I love the Cavs colors. That wine and gold with the dark blue is fantastic. It's a perfect color scheme. So if the Indians were to change colors, I would love to see them adopt that wine and gold color scheme.
Well,
see, that shows you that I'm not saying because the Indians have been this that they're the first one. I'm looking at the three things equally and saying, if you're going to go with brown and orange, red and blue, or wine and gold, you go with wine and gold.
Well, and no team does that perfectly than Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Even the both universities incorporate some sort of yellow and black in their logos. I mean, the entire city, I mean, all the bridges are I shouldn't say yellow, gold, I'm sorry. Yellow or gold, and it's just perfect. I mean, the Penguins, Pirates, and Steelers all basically share the same colors.
Yeah, and I'll say, like, I always goof around with my spreadsheets and stuff, and when I'm making a spreadsheet, a lot of times I'll try to make each color for a team. So it's really easy to do, like, Oakland is bright green, and the Mariners, like, a teal. You know, like, there's some teams that are just obvious that you can just put in there. And then there's like 16 Minnesota, Texas, Boston, Cleveland. They're all red and blue. It's like, let's just move on. Let Boston have red and blue. They can be. They got the Patriots. You know, it fits. The Bruins don't really fit, but they. You know, I get it. They're like the birth of patriotism is in Boston, so I understand. They're all the red and blues. Let them have red and blue. We don't need to be red and blue. It's unnecessary.
Is it possible to offend a spider if they're renamed the spiders?
Well, I'll say in the one primary argument against the spiders, there's been two of them that I've seen. One of them is they stunk, which I can debunk pretty quickly. And the other one is that it was an insult. And it was an insult at the time. It was because they had a lot of tall, skinny guys, and they said they looked like they had like long arms and long legs, and they looked like spiders, and they were making fun of them. I get it. It's no longer an insult. You got Spider-Man, you got all these other... Like, if they were red and blue and called the spiders, that's just an obvious Marvel tie-in right there. In any event, you've got... I think spiders are definitely much more on the terrifying range than on the... Haha, that's a spider, I'm just going to step on it range at this point. Which is odd, but, yeah. but it's definitely swung that way, where I think it's definitely... a much more intriguing thing. And there are definitely spiders that live in Ohio, so it's not like it's, grabbing something. I hate all teams named after large cats that don't live in the United States, or even like the Florida Panthers, where you're named after something that doesn't live in Florida anymore. So
right.
It's Carolina Panthers. There are no Panthers in Carolina or Florida. They don't live there. They're in California. Like, if a California team's named that, that's okay, but there's not on the East Coast anymore. They killed them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like the spiders. There are other options in there as well. But I hate the naps. The idea of some people have brought up going back to the naps.
No, that's definitely not.
And beside the fact that could be considered offensive in its own, some guy got fired for that once.
Nappy headed hoe.
Somebody that nobody listened to in the first place got fired.
What about the arrows?
That only made sense for Akron, I think. It was beautiful. Yeah, that alliteration. And it was such a cool logo and cool color scheme with the purple. I love any color that isn't normal. Like, I love it when teams go orange, like when the Dolphins did their orange jerseys. And
mm-hmm.
I guess the Browns have done that before too, but whatever. I love that type of thing. I love Seattle's color scheme, not the football team, that's awful, but the baseball team.
What about the terminals?
No, that's bad.
Terminal Tower?
That sounds like they're going to die. They all have cancer. They're the Cleveland Cancers. There we go. And they can be crabs.
You got the Rockers.
That was a really bad name, too.
The Storm?
Lake Elsinore is a storm.
Yeah, but they're not Major League Baseball.
I guess. Like, the Blizzards or something. But it's not it's a summer team, though. There's not really storms in Cleveland this summer. Not that you'd worry about.
Let's see. What else is Cleveland? That's actually a really good question. And I only have about five more minutes before I've got to go. But
yeah, we got to finish this thing up. John's going to freak out.
What is Cleveland really known for?
The Steamers. That was that was the team in was the football game. Was it Blitz? The one where you could actually kill people?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think it was NFL Blitz, and the team in Cleveland was called the Cleveland Steamers.
Hmm. Well, but what is Cleveland known for? Like,
it's got to be something lake-related. I mean, that's really what it is.
Like, Milwaukee, beer, I mean, what is Cleveland known for?
Drew Carey.
for what?
Drew Carey, the comedian.
No, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's the Football Hall of Fame.
I was presented that question before. Like, what food, what pierogies. Culture, like, what is Cleveland known for?
It's all Polish. At least that's what I've seen.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe that's more of the Ashtabula part mixing in.
What about the Rounders?
That sounds awful. I'm glad you're not in charge of this. To me, it's just easy. It's just jump back to the spiders. Honestly, it bugs me that they don't consider the spiders as part of the franchise. There's so many teams that have jumped between the league, jump American to National. It's been done a few times now, especially recently. It's been done a couple times with the Astros and the Brewers. That you couldn't say that's the same franchise. You had some, though. I think Jimmy McAleer played for the He played for the Cleveland Infants in, like, what, 1890, and then he played for the Spiders, and then he played for the Cleveland Lakeshores, and then he played for the Cleveland Indians. Like, so there at least was one guy who stuck through the whole thing. But the Cleveland Lakeshores in 1900, like, that was the minor league team that became the Cleveland Blues, Broncos, whatever you want to call them, in 1901. But that was pretty much the Spiders from 1900, or 1899. So that was there was no break. It wasn't like there was no team for 5 years like the Browns. It went straight Spiders, Lakeshores, Blues. Like just year 1901. There was never a year where there was no baseball in Cleveland. So to me, to go back to the Spiders is really is not a negative. And they were a good team until the same owner, the Robeson brothers, Frederick and Stanley. One of them bought the St. Louis Browns. The other one owned the Spiders. They sold all of the good players off to the Browns, kept the terrible players, including Louis Suchlexis. He got to stay in Cleveland. And that's why they were terrible. It wasn't that they had built this franchise up and then they were terrible. It was because every single good player on the team was sold to a St. Louis team that they renamed the Perfectos and then didn't win the championship, which is slightly embarrassing. But that team had Cy Young and had had a whole bunch of guys from that that 1898 team.
Yeah.
But the 1894 Spiders went to the championship round. So, like, they were a good team. They were a good team for a long time. They've got three or four Hall of Famers. Just because you haven't heard of them doesn't mean they didn't exist.
Right. All right, got to wrap this up.
Yeah, I think that's it. We will try to do this again, especially during not necessarily spring training, but the weeks leading up to spring training when everyone's practicing. That's the most fun time for me. I love watching pitchers fielding practice and bunting. So all that's really good stuff.
We've got to have your reports of PIP, too.
Yeah, that's what I say. I could tell you guys how these guys are getting their bunts down and fielding and such and who's playing what position. That, to me, that's way more interesting than the games themselves, which are boring. Okay, great news. We can end this on the great news. Michael Martinez is dead.
Yep. 6 months. Probably going to miss the entire season.
Finally.
He probably won't wear an Indians uniform ever again.
Oh, I think he will. He's going to be with the team until 2025 at least. He's going to be the Indians mini Minoso.
All right. Say goodnight, sweet pants.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. Racist things. Bye-bye.
You didn't say goodnight, sweet pants.
I don't do that. That's your bit.
Ah. All right. Well, I gotta split.
Diggo, diggo, wop. Diggo, wop.
The Cleveland...
got nobody.
The Cleveland Polacks.
Nobody. Nobody. Do-do-do-do.
All right.
Done it.